All right, yeah, back here on WBEN. Thanks for hanging out with us. Brian Mazeroski here, and so is Joe Beamer. We were talking a little bit yesterday about some of this Bills schedule and how we'd, you know, finally get a look at it. Well, here we are, right?
Here it is.
We have our look at it. It's, I got to tell you, Joe, this is to culminate our week. You were asking me, give me another, you know, old example.
Follow the theme of the week, yeah.
Right. I mean, this is a I feel old, right? When I'm looking at the schedule and I go, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games after 8 o'clock kickoffs on a work night. That's just a little too much for me.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm fine with the Saturday night game on the 23rd. That's fun. But, you know, starting the season again on a work night and Thursday. I mean, I know it's, hey, we complained when we had 1 o'clock games, but yeah, Brian, I looked at the schedule and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a kid and then I'm going to be telling my wife, hey, I'll see you. I'm going to an 8:15 Thursday night game, followed by an 8:15 Monday night game.
Yeah. Let me know how that works out for you. Because, like I said, it's a commitment. It's not like, you know, this is the difference between going to, like, a football game and a hockey game. Like, a hockey game is just, you know, night out, see you. I mean, you could go out after the kids are in bed. And, you know, just be home and it's like nothing ever happened, like you were never there almost. You could take the kids, you know, really easily to go to a hockey game and the football game. It's just like this whole thing. And to have, I mean, you look at, you'd start with a couple of 1 o'clock games and they're in London. And then the home games after the home opener, which is in September, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Then you have Miami, October 1st, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Then it's Sunday night. The next home game is Thursday night. The next home game is Monday night. The next two home games are at 4:30 in the evening. And what time do you get home from a 4:30 game?
Nine-ish.
You know, what time do you get there? So, you know, that's a 9-hour day or so, potentially. So that's a lot of work to ask of the fans, for sure.
And it's not, I know it's not the same commitment, but we have a Sunday night in the middle of the Monday, of the Thursday and Monday night home game. So that's still staying up late. You know what I mean? That's an away game, not as difficult because you can do it from the confines of your home. But, I mean, a stretch of 8 o'clock games, Brian, in the middle of the season.
Yeah, it's three in a row, and you go 2 months without playing at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Like, isn't that nuts? I mean, that used to be the whole schedule. For years, the whole schedule was 1 o'clock on Sunday, maybe mix in a 4 o'clock game, or 1 o'clock on Sunday, and then you get one Thursday night, and then it's like, ooh, is it going to be home this year, like Thursday night? Like, that would be cool. And that was years. Like, yeah, that was a good decade plus where every game was. Now, that's 29% of the schedule. Wow. Right? It's nothing. It's less than a third of the schedule. And after October 1st, you wait until December 31st, 1, 2, 3 full months between home 1 o'clock kickoffs. So if you're a Bills fan, you're going to these games. I don't know. Does that play into it at all? Like, are you happy about it? Are you a little upset? 803-0930. Feel free to weigh in. Give us a call or a text this morning.
This is the debate. You know, this is the argument with myself that I have in my head, Brian, because the fan in me is very excited for this, right? The fan in me is excited for the spotlight on Buffalo, which I kind of debate that as well because maybe you play better with it. I don't know. But the older gentleman that I am becoming, you know, who likes to watch Wheel of Fortune.
Gentleman's a stretch.
All right. The older man that I'm becoming, who likes to watch Wheel of Fortune and then get, you know, start preparing to wind down. This is a problem. You know, these home games are a bit of a problem. I'll adjust. But yeah, I long for the days where you have the 1 o'clock games. And then for a stretch there, the Jets games were always at 4:25.
Like I said, it's like a love hate. What's your favorite game on the schedule?
Ooh, My favorite
game. Everything taken into consideration, that can mean opponent, that can mean time, that can mean time of year, just like all of that. What's your favorite game on the schedule?
I think it's always fun to host Dallas. I think that's always a fun home game. 425, you get the main crew on Fox. And the week before that, at Kansas City is, I mean.
You bring in your TV into the stands? You get the main crew on Fox?
Well, no, I'm just saying. I like when Dallas comes to town. It's always a fun atmosphere.
I think that's got to be a highlight too, right? It only happens once every 8 years. It's marquee matchup. Two really good teams near the end of the year. You get Dallas potentially in the snow. That's a nice one. That's a good matchup. I look at the entire schedule. I was saying yesterday how I am looking forward to a little bit this 9:30 a.m. Like, I think that's going to be kind of a cool thing. You know, a little bit different, something you don't have. My hands down by far favorite game on the schedule, Saturday, December 23rd, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Against the Chargers out in L.A. I mean, that's just perfect. It's a Saturday night, 8 o'clock. I'm ready to go. Like, that's the perfect day for me to have a home game. I wish every Bills game was on a Saturday. To me, the perfect time for a Bills game is 4 o'clock on a Saturday. Every single week, that's when they should be playing.
Yeah. I love college football. I'm fine with 1 o'clock Sunday. It's just how it's always been. But I do love later in the season, the Saturday. I kind of did like the mystery last year when you had, you know, one day or the other, and that's not on this schedule.
See,
this
I hate
year.
That. Like that,
oh, I love that.
It is something on the schedule at Miami, January 6th or 7th.
Oh.
So if you're one of like a ton of people who love to go down to the Miami game, you know, you could be saying one of two things. You'd be saying like, well, all right, well, I'm going either way. But now I would have to be thinking I'm not alone in this. You know, you started to hear a little bit yesterday, the rumors, all right, Miami is going to be the last game of the regular season at Miami. All right, that could be good timing to go down to Miami in the beginning of January. Saturday or Sunday makes a huge difference for me. If you're talking about a plane trip and potentially like, okay, you go down there maybe Friday evening. And then if it's a Saturday game, you can come back on Sunday and you're ready for work on Monday. If the game's on Sunday, you can't be doing that and ready for work on Monday. And if that's not going to be decided until, when do they decide those? 3 weeks before?
12 days before.
Like, that's not enough time to be able to adjust your schedule and figure out what you're going to do. So, maybe you have the luxury of taking off all the days and just going no matter what, and it won't matter to you what day the game's on. But for a lot of people, that matters. Like, you need a little bit of certainty.
Yeah, and week 14 through 17, remember, those games could also be flexed to Monday night, except for the Chargers game.
Yeah, but I don't think that's happening, though.
No, it's not.
Right?
But I mean, that's also
the Kansas City game's locked in. That Dallas game's locked in to where they are. The Chargers game's locked in. Miami's already up in the air as to where it is. Like, I think you're pretty set. You can pretty much look at this schedule with the amount of times the Bills are on at night and say, that's what you're going to get, except for that last game, which, again, that kill. A friend texted me. It's like, oh, well, you know, it's TBD, but see y'all down there? I'm like, all right, yeah. You're the only one on this text group who doesn't have kids, so
have
easy
fun.
For you to say.
Have fun, yeah.
Like, you know, like that's not a like, all right, you know, everyone come on down. You know, no, we can... Got some things to figure out. It's a little bit different than that.
Yeah, I mean, but it just goes to show those last few weeks. Again, the Bills are locked in for America's game. Yeah, those are locked in. But it just goes to show the NFL's like, well, if you're traveling, I guess you can tack on another day because this is how we're doing it now. Just saying.
Well, but that's kind of like the point here that I kind of want to make at the end of the day. Like, is it exciting that the Bills get a lot of primetime games? Yes. I mean, the reason it's exciting is not so much the primetime anymore. Like, Al Michaels isn't on Sunday Night Football anymore. It doesn't have, like, the same gravitas.
Not you like Thursday Night Football, so you get Al Michaels.
No. Oh. Like, none of it has the same, oomph that it used to for me, like, even just a few short years ago. Like, it's not the primetime that excites me. Like, what's exciting is that the team's good.
Yes.
And that people want to see the team. Like, that's... What's really exciting about the Bills?
Love it.
The overall point, though, of looking at when they play is, Sal kind of said the opposite, in where it's more of a fan-friendly schedule in the sense that they could have played on Christmas or Christmas Eve, and they don't. They play on the 23rd. They don't play on Thanksgiving like they have a few days before. Like, they're not right up against Halloween or anything like that. In those ways, I guess you can look at it as fan-friendly. I just don't look at this as being fan-friendly at all. This actually, I remember thinking about this when the Bills stunk and the Patriots were so good, and the Patriots would be on primetime TV like every single week, right? I mean, you remember that back when Brady was, when they're in the middle of like their second spurt of Super Bowl runs. It was the Patriots and the Steelers were this way too, I feel. One of those two teams. I mean, they were on Sunday Night Football all the time, or Monday night. Like, they were always in the primetime games. And I remember kind of thinking, like, well, it must be nice to have a good team, like, you get all these exciting games. But at the same time, like, don't you get sick of playing again and again at night? Like, it's nice to have it as a novelty once or twice a year. But when it's every game, it's kind of grating. And when I look at this and say, okay, well, one of your home games has been taken away and thrown out. So you only have 8 remaining. You have 3 more of them are going to be 8:15 or 8:20 kickoffs on school nights. And then you got a couple of later afternoon games, and only 3 of them are going to start at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Like, if I'm a guy who's going to every single game, I'm looking at that and saying, that's not fan friendly. It's nice that everyone wants to watch the team. It's nice that they get this attention. It stinks for me as the game-going Bills fan to kind of have to put up with that kind of schedule. Again, if you're 20 years old, you probably love it, right? If you have, like, the job flexibility, the flexibility at home, you probably love it. I kind of think it stinks for, like, the everyday guy.
Ask me halfway through the season, because I'm going, you know, like I said, I look at this and I'm going to be tired a lot this year. But I do like the spotlight on the Bills, and I think going back,
this absolutely stinks for you. I'm telling you right now, like, it just stinks for you.
A lot of vacation days gonna be taken on this.
But, like, all right, you have season tickets, and you're gonna have. So how old is your kid gonna be? It's 4 months
math?
Or so.
You asking me to do math? Yeah,
which is, you know, between 4 and half a year, which, I mean, it's not like, you know, it should be. Honestly, and, you know, one kid's not all that, like, crazy, but you still have extra stuff to do. You're going to be helping out. The mornings are a little earlier for you on the weekends and everything. I think you're going to hate this on Sunday, November 19th.
Sunday, November 19th. Oh.
But, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. When you are now looking at, you know, you have a Sunday night game, and then the next game you go to at home is a Thursday night, and then it's a Monday night, and then it's another Sunday that is going to be a later night for you to get home. I think you are going to stare down either wanting to get out of the tickets, a meltdown. Like, I just, like, if this was happening in my house and I told my wife what this schedule was, I wouldn't have the tickets anymore.
We were looking at it last night. My wife wants to go to the Jets game, and then she has to say what other games she wants to go to. I think I'll probably sell the Giants, right? But I think on October 2nd, I'll be pretty happy. Like, oh, 2 1 o'clock games. I'll probably sell the Giants. So, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule now. What game do I want to sell? I won't go to all 8. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. I will not go to all 8 home games.
It's, you know,
it just it is a bit of a commitment when you, like you said, Brian, it's early days and you got stuff at home. And I mean, I do want to keep my job. If I keep on coming in here pretty tired, you know, I might be on the street.
It wasn't that bad in 2020 when they had, like, a little more primetime exposure toward the end of the year and some of these big games, and, like, everything was shut down. You couldn't go to any of the games. But I remember taking off after some of these bigger nighttime Bills games because there was no other time to use your vacation time.
That's right.
So, like, my vacation, okay. But, like, now that stuff's going on again,
Yeah, you like to keep those.
Well, yeah, you can't do that.
Right.
Like, you can't. Sorry, we're not taking the kids anywhere. I'm taking off five work days because the Bills played until midnight the night before.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be, like you said, it'll be interesting on November 20th what my reflection of the season so far is. Because last year after the Green Bay game, I did come to work. And let me tell you, I still remember feeling that through the entire shift.
Yeah, like that's insane.
Yeah.
Like that's an insane move. What time did you get home?
That was after midnight. I mean, it was an 8:20 kickoff, yeah.
And then you're in here
4:30.
I mean,
yeah, that was tough. That was a tough one. That's why I look at the Giants game. I can part with the Giants game, right? I can part with that one.
I'm surprised you picked that one of all of them.
Take a long weekend after the Bucks game. Take Tuesday off after the Broncos. And I don't think the 425s are gonna hit me as hard.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
It's not fan friendly.
It's not, but I think a lot of NFL teams can say, I mean, I think the NFL might be moving away more, right? They're about how many eyes are on the TV, not the 70,000-80,000 in the stadium.
Yeah. I wish it wasn't the case though. I really wish it wasn't.
Of course not, yeah.
But that's just that's the way I was looking at it. Like in terms of football, I like the way that it kind of shapes up. You got like a rush of great teams like toward the end as you're marching toward the playoffs, hopefully, before like starting, hopefully with a good record. But in terms of going to the games, enjoying the Bills, it's not my favorite. I am one of the people who pine for 1 o'clock. I love Saturday. Like I love when there are these Saturday games.
I wish that was a home game.
So perfectly.
I wish the 23rd was a home game.
You do. I'm fine with it being like on the road. Like just I'll watch that game on TV. We'll have a party somewhere. I'm hoping for Joe. I would like to see. It should be maybe like a month and a half or so from now, where the NHL releases its schedule. I'd like to see a Saturday, November 4th, Sabres at Blue Jackets. And you can turn that into a road trip if you wanted to. You go hit Columbus, then the Bills are in Cincinnati the next Sunday night.
Two fun cities.
Turn that around, and you head right back there. That would be a nice – that would be fan-friendly
looking
to me.
Looking at the last five games, though, it is interesting that of the last five, you said that stretch of good teams, that the Patriots right now are the easiest of that stretch. That is.
They stink.
Never thought that day would come. I really, honestly, never thought that day would come.
It's like you're 2 months in between 1 o'clock Sunday games. Just like totally. I don't know. It's mind-boggling to me that we could go 2 months between 1 o'clock games, and you go 3 months between 1 o'clock home games. Is just. It rearranges your sun. We've had like a Buffalo, Western New York Sunday tradition for how many years, and whether that's tailgating at the stadium. I talked to the Reverend Kainzer Pointer. He's been a frequent guest on WBEN. He's doing his Sunday service, and he says it's a quick one during Bills season because I have tickets, he says, and we're out there, and we're at the game, get the full service in on Sundays. Like, it has just been ingrained in what you do in Western New York for so long, and you're only going to do it like a few times this year. That's kind of crazy to me. Like it was wake up, go to church, eat some pancakes, watch the Bills, or go somewhere and watch the Bills after. Like, you have the beats of the day down, and that has been completely thrown out the window.
Sometimes you'd go to church, and then you'd have your Bills clothes in the car because you're going to someone's house right after church to watch the game, and you wanted to have, your Bills clothes on. You didn't want to have your church clothes on while watching the whole game. Well, that was me, at least. But it is funny how it is always the same thing that we're talking about, right? When this schedule came out 10 years ago, Brian, it was that primetime game. Right? I mean, it's funny. That was the big talk. Like, look at that one game that's not 1 o'clock on the schedule. Now we're talking about, look at those 1 o'clock games.
I know. It's the exact opposite, right?
It's so interesting.
Oh, man. Like, they're all so late. Like, give me that game that's at 1 o'clock on a Sunday against The Raiders, you know.
Whoever thought that please. Would be the con when we talked about what the pros and cons of Buffalo being good?
I tell you, I did not think so. Bills, though, we love them. Josh Allen, we love him. Might be the most loved person in Buffalo. But we might have another person on that list. We'll be talking about that when we come back. Be Manson Beamer on WBEN. Right, back here on WBEN, just getting through going to some of the Bills' schedule. I was looking at the secondary market. I think it's all secondary market right now. Ticket prices lower than, I mean, the ticket prices were crazy last year, but I think you, Joe, kind of hit the nail on the head. It's people are, fatigue?
Fatigue, you know.
Fatigue of everything, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, it's the scheduling, the division round exits, like, I think some people are like, if I'm going to save my money, if I'm going to spend that money, I'm going to wait till the playoffs. Because playoff tickets were going, as you said, when it gets cold out, playoff tickets were going cheaper than the home opener last year, than some of the primetime games last year.
People also spent all their money before the playoffs.
Oh, that too.
Like, yeah. Right, because the games on the secondary market were around $300 for, like, every single game. We were talking about this like every single week. It wasn't just like Sunday night against Green Bay, though. That was a big one.
Right.
I mean, you know, that was like $300 to get in, but it was still $200 to get in to see these other games that you would never think that people would spend big money to go see. I don't think it's fatigue of the team and the Bills as much as it is fatigue of going to like the primetime novelty has worn off.
Yes,
sure.
Of course, for sure.
Like that, like last year was that Sunday night game. Still last year, after a couple years of being good, that was the first home Sunday night football game the Bills had played in. It was like 15 years, right?
Yes.
So like the novelty wears off a little bit, and you know people start to be thinking the way we were talking before. Like I got work the next day. Like it's this whole thing, and then the price fatigue, too. I was saying at the playoffs last year and, you know, throughout the year, like, they're still going to be good for, you know, you hope, at least a few more years, you know, if
not
more.
The lifetime of the stadium?
Yeah. They're still going to be good. You can only pay that kind of money to go to a game, like, so many times before you're
season.
Just like, you're done.
Like last year, I sold the Titans game for $275 a piece, or maybe even more than that. And I sold the Pittsburgh game, Brian. Remember that? That was a 1 o'clock home game last year. The Pittsburgh game, I sold for over $300 a ticket. And Pittsburgh, newsflash, was not that good last year. So those were just two of the games that I had sold and made big bucks on. And just like you said, it's not sustainable. You can't do that. And hey, I'm fine. It gives me more incentive to go.
But like, it is kind of wild to, you know, just look at how, I mean, yes, or last year was maybe
the peak.
I don't want to say it's the peak because like you're hoping that there's even more excitement around the corner. Like they show something that's even better.
Yes.
But it might have been like you had everything was like building to that season last year and the excitement around it, and now it's like a little bit of a lull.
Regardless of what the team does, I think, and I want to know if you agree, regardless of what the team does in the next few years, those first few games at the new stadium, I think you will see those high prices come back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Last games at the stadium.
Yep.
And then I think that's going to be a
difficult ticket to get.
I was going to say impossible ticket to get to go to that first game at the new stadium.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the last one at this stadium is going to be tough, too. And there's more seats in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to be tough. That's going to be impossible. Like, unless you are locked into season tickets, like, that will be an impossible one. And I know of at least a couple people who, like, that is the whole reason they're holding on to season tickets, even if they don't go to a lot of games, is to get into.
Yes.
The new stadium, which, you know, it's a pretty interesting way to go about it. But
100%. Speaking of tickets, though, Brian, before we get to that, speaking of tickets, you want to talk about tickets dropping. Taylor Swift's tickets have finally started dropping. I saw this in the post, and I had to let you know. Her show in Philadelphia, they were selling for 1,024 tickets. But don't worry. 4 days later, the tickets dropped to $734. So now a little more affordable
now,
ticket.
Now, is that a list price, like high-end list price? Or like what are people actually paying to go to the
this
show?
Right now, this is the starting price on Vivid Seats was $1,024, now $734 for the show at Lincoln Financial Field.
And so they're all sold out, so these are all, you know, secondary market yes. tickets. I mean, that is, Joe, that's nuts.
No.
I'm looking at the whole list from, there's not one in the three digits.
It's crazy.
Oh, wait, no. There are these next two, $700. Everything else is over $1,200 for a ticket to this show.
By the way, Brian, it's not just one show in Philadelphia. It's three shows, the cheapest ticket, $734 right now.
What is the better value, Joe? $300 to go. I mean, now you have this game in retrospect. So, like, you try and put yourself in a position where, like, you don't really know what's going to happen. But people were paying $300 to go see the Bills take on the Steelers at the stadium. $300 to see a midseason NFL football game, or $1,000 to go see Taylor Swift. Which is the what do you come out of with a better feeling about dropping that kind of money on?
I don't know if I ever come out of a good feeling of either of them.
You're kind of sick either way, but.
And I mean, I love football. Bills, Steelers, I'd love to be there, right? Well, I guess not last year. I sold it. But Taylor Swift is performing all her hits from all her eras. That's why it's called the Eras Tour. It is a once-in-a-lifetime.
All her eras. She's only been around for like a decade, right?
But her eras of country and pop and this coffee house stuff she's doing now. So her different genres of music. I would say that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Bill Steelers, midseason last year, Steelers really weren't that good. You saw Mitch Trubisky play, which was only a few times before. He's no longer a Bill, so I mean, a Steeler.
I wouldn't agree that it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Like, I think you'll have plenty of opportunities to see Taylor Swift.
For a lot cheaper? Like at Fallsview?
I don't know necessarily about that. I still think, hands down, the better buy is Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Or any,
but I wouldn't feel
concert
good about,
of that like magnitude.
But it is a once in a lifetime thing. This is a concert a lot of people in that industry are talking about, right? I mean, that's getting you a lot of publicity. You go on the New York Post, which
it's a stadium tour. Like no one, I mean, and the biggest act in music, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I would say
it's akin to, you know, probably like Michael Jackson in his heyday doing a stadium tour, right?
I mean, I would say if you went to go see 1989, the tour from Taylor Swift, you'd say that was a once in a lifetime. It was that album. That was a huge tour, sold out tickets. Not this ridiculous, but were up there. You would say that was a once in a lifetime. I saw the 1989 in one of the stadiums.
Yeah,
you
can do that with music, I guess. But like, I put the concert above the football game, as even with the price difference, I still think that's a better buy. There's a limit at a game to how much you can spend. Like, if you're, here's the thing about the new stadium game, why I think the ticket prices are going to be so expensive, the last game at the stadium and then the first game at the current stadium, is because the event is it being the last game or it being the first game. It doesn't really rely on what happens on the field, right?
Right.
Like, so no matter what, you are going to say, I was at the last game or I was at the first game. And that is the event and what you're paying to go see. If you're paying to go see the game on the field, the literally anything can happen. I mean, we saw that last year, right?
Yeah.
Literally anything can happen. To like make that the outcome is so unknown, it's hard to justify spending over what? Like, for me, it's $100 to go see a game is like, I don't really know if I could do this, because you could go to this game and it ends up being just the worst game you've ever seen in your life that's meaningless, like that you would just never remember other than the price of the ticket. At least the concert, you're getting a show.
Yeah, you're getting the music you like if you're paying that kind of money to go to the concert.
And, like, you know you're getting a show, right? You could go see, like, Sinead O'Connor, and she walks off the stage because the sound isn't right or something. Or, like, you'll never pay to go see Morrissey because, you know, he'll cancel the show 9 times out of 10. There are artists like that. But, you know, Taylor Swift, some of these bigger acts where you know, the Rolling Stones, right? Like, you know they're going to put on a performance. Bruce Springsteen, like, you know he's going to put on a performance. You know what you're going to get. Having that, like, security is nice when you're paying that kind of money. A game, I mean, it's just so hard to do. Like the Super Bowl, all right, you know you're at a Super Bowl. Like you can say that you're there. Anything else, I don't know, Joe. It's like really tough to spend that kind of money on a game.
And when that final season at the stadium schedule comes out, Brian, I'm hoping that last game on the schedule is not the last game at the stadium. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The playoffs and everything. Yeah, yeah, you might not know. So, like, the game after Damar Hamlin collapses on the field, and you have that kickoff return.
Yeah.
Like, that is... Like, people who were there are never going to forget that.
No, yep.
But you never could have expected that to happen.
When you bought the... Right, of course.
And like, that's the... It's things you never would have expected to happen is what makes it memorable. And it's almost like you're buying a lottery ticket when you spend like $300 to go, that you're going to see something like that happen.
Or something that you want to leave at halftime.
I started to think about this, Joe. I remember, you know, back when I used to cover some Sabres games, like being up in the press box, it was like a Tuesday or Thursday night. Probably a Tuesday, because that just seems much more bland. Sabres, and I want to say Predators, or maybe the Blues. But, you know, a team that, who cares?
Yeah.
The game was a slog. Just like one of the worst games. The Sabres might have lost 1-0. And there might have been like 25 combined shots on goal. Like one of those games.
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting there thinking, like in the press box, I probably looked it up. Like somebody paid $150 a seat to come to this.
To be in this pain.
even if the Sabres would have won, right? Like, somebody paid over $100 to watch this. And, like, that has always stuck with me when it comes to spending money to go to any game where it's just, you could sit through that and just... Ugh.
There is an exception that someone put on the text board. The people who went to go see baseball in Buffalo. That was more than a game because it was a season.
Yeah, that's baseball an event.
MLB baseball was played in Buffalo.
I did that. You know, yeah. I went to see the last one. The Red Sox play in Buffalo. Probably the last Major League Baseball game that will ever be played in Buffalo. I spent money. I went to go see it. It was awesome. And that's like the novelty of the situation.
Yeah.
But that's in line with first game at the stadium, last game. Like this right. other event, you know, banner raising. Like people want to be there for that. I see the Patriots are going to bring Tom Brady back for a game this year. Like that's an event outside of the game that only happens maybe once a year. Every other time you are paying for the game. And how much do you want to pay for that?
Right. I mean, with the way the Patriots look, that might be the hottest ticket of the season for the Patriots.
Oh, easily. I guarantee you it will. It's like sure.
It's like the Sabres when they have, you know, stuff like Miller Night and stuff just to get people into the building.
Someone's saying anyone who would pay $1,000 to see Taylor Swift needs their head examined.
She's one of the most popular artists right now.
I don't even think like that has anything to do with it. If you take into account inflation of tickets and then how like this whole thing has just changed on its head, I do think it is ridiculously prohibitively expensive to go to most things. Most professional, like big league sports, most major concerts, even some smaller concerts. I mean, I have tickets to some smaller concerts that are $100 that I could not believe, like in my wildest dreams, that would ever be the case. But the way things have gone, like that's the get in price. And if you ever want to have that experience, if you ever want to go, it's like me saying, the ticket to every, it's almost like Disney World in a way. Like Disney World is ridiculously expensive to go there. And for some people, they want to have that. It's like a bucket list experience for them. And if you want to have it, you have to pay the price. It's if every theme park in America all of a sudden started saying, well, our base admission is going to be $100. That's where we'll start on our Tuesday afternoons. If you want the experience of ever riding a roller coaster, you're going to have to pay for it. I don't agree with it. If you want that experience to see one of these big shows, that's the going right now. So,
and like you said, it's not only big shows, because I would say that Eddie Money's no longer a big show. I love Eddie Money. And the cheapest ticket to see his next show,
yeah, that stuff's ridiculous,
is like $150.
That's insane.
And I just can't, number one, I can't believe the demand's there for tickets that high. I'd love to go see Eddie Money. I can't justify spending.
Is the demand there? Like if you look there.
Wouldn't the tickets drop if it wasn't?
I'm not necessarily. Like, is it sold out?
No.
Right?
That's why I keep looking at tickets.
So, like, the demand isn't there.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to go see Eddie Money. I can't justify $300 for two tickets.
I wouldn't justify three. Right? But that's like, just taste in music or whatever. But, like, that's how it works. Concerts you give, right? We've said this on the show before. Like, it has changed. You used to tour to support the album. Now you album to support the tour, right? Yep. You release music so that you can go on tour and people spend money there. Everyone gets music for free. They're going to make it up somehow. They make it up in selling concert tickets. That's just the way it works.
That's why Hall & Oates still tour, because they got, let's just say they signed some stuff they shouldn't have with their albums, so they're still making money, and the tour is what's supporting them in their 70s.
Yeah. I can't imagine they'd be making a lot of money off their records. Now.
Not now, but back in the day, they didn't get a lot of that money because of the agreement they had signed. And that's why into their 70s, I mean, they love music as well, but those tours are what are making them their big money.
Little mismanagement going on there.
It sounds that way, yeah.
That happens to a lot of people. I feel bad for a lot of these artists.
Oh my gosh, it wasn't Eddie Money, it was Billy Idol. Eddie Money has passed away. I did go see Eddie Money. I'm sorry, someone texted that in. Not Eddie Money, Billy Idol.
I didn't know Eddie Money was dead.
Yeah.
I would pay $150 to see that then.
Eddie Money, I saw him do a tailgate show for UB, and I think he passed away like a year or two later. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's R.I.P. Eddie Money.
From the Crypt, One Night Only. That's worth it.
I had Eddie Money on the mind because I was listening to an Eddie Money album yesterday. But it's Billy Idol, whose cheapest ticket is $150. And isn't it funny I was saying Eddie Money and picturing Billy Idol?
I think that's probably an easy mistake for a lot of people to make, right?
But not for me. I've seen one of them. I'd like to see the other.
I like Billy Idol.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not paying $150.
No. Like, not now, right? How... When you get so old, so like that's what you give like Paul McCartney credit, because he's old, but he's good.
Yeah.
Like he's old, he goes out there and he dances around and he's got a ton of energy, more energy than I see a lot of younger guys have. And he kind of gets better throughout the show. Like he kind of gets into a groove as he's going. So he puts on the show that's worth it. Who do you have to be like to be older? Not have it anymore, like 95% of older acts, right? Like they lose a step or 10 and still charge a ton of money. Like to me, that person, like I would pay a lot of money to go see Iggy Pop. I'm not going to expect him to be amazing, but he's that type of legend,
yeah.
Where like it's like seeing the Pope, right? Like you want to be there in the room. While it's going on, I'd pay a lot of money for a ticket. I don't know that there's a lot of people out there like that.
No. I
certainly know that Billy Idol is not on that list.
I'd love to see Billy Idol, but yeah. I mean, for a time, Neil Sedaka right? I mean, he was touring.
No,
he's not touring anymore.
No, he's not.
If he came back.
Another Neil, though. People probably did this with Neil Diamond.
Say Neil Diamond?
I don't agree with this because but you watched his performances later on. It was bad. Right, it was bad. I don't view him as like that type of person to, you know, I love some old Neil Diamond songs, they're great, but I don't view him as that type of legend where you just pay money just to see the guy, even though the performance stinks. But I bet you a lot of people would.
Well, I did it again. Neil Sedaka, I do love Neil Sedaka, you know, Calendar Girl. I met Tony Bennett. And
that, how do you mess that one up? And I could see the first one.
And he was touring into his 90s.
Those are different.
And I do believe Tony Bennett is a legend. And he could probably, when he was touring, could charge those higher
prices.
We
got Tom Jones and Wayne Newton both coming into town.
Yeah.
Wayne Newton, I think, is a little more reasonably priced than Tom Jones. That's why we've been giving you the Tom Jones tickets, the chance to win. Wayne Newton, a little more reasonably priced. There's probably some people like, oh, see a legend. But there's a definite, you're not paying $100.
Oh, and Wayne Newton, I mean, if anyone had a nice night on a slot machine, they might have had two free tickets thrown in
right.
Vegas.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's been there forever.
That's how it worked. I don't think there's a lot of people on that list, though. It might be niche, depending on who you like. But there's not a lot of people who can command that legacy money just to be in the room and say they saw him. That's a few and far between. McCartney would be able to. I don't put him on there because he still puts on a good show.
That's right, yeah.
Elton John would be, from all accounts, still that show was pretty good.
Yeah. Rolling Stones. Would you put them up there?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Still
they're
tour.
Still kind of kicking it on stage from what I hear. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. All right. Monday, Brian, I promise to not make two mistakes with names and confuse two people.
Again, like the first one, Tony Bennett and Neil Sedaka. That's it. You have to apologize to Tony Bennett, I think.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to both of them. I think Neil Sedaka has a fine catalog of music. You know? Hey, Little Devil, I'm going to make an angel out of you.
Hey.
You know that one?
Sing us out, Joe.
All right. Hey, don't miss Hardline Sunday. And before that, our podcast, 930 and 716, talking to the mayor, Eva Doyle, and others, marking 1 year since the Tops shooting. David Bellavia is next. I'll talk to you Sunday. We'll talk to you Monday here on WBEN.